Summer is fully upon us with its bounty of sun, fun, outdoor activities, and natural wonders. Those of us who live here in Southern California kind of take for granted the lush natural world we enjoy every day. But some of those wonders are under threat. Just one example, the monarch butterfly. In 2019, researchers announced that the western monarch was dipping to levels that put it at risk for extinction. Then, more recent research showed that areas of the U.S. were seeing more monarchs. We talked to some experts about the monarchs and what is being done to preserve them. And this time of year, our local parks are full of butterflies and people looking to have a good time and stay cool. We talk about what recreational opportunities you can find at LA County Parks and what the state is doing to bring more open space to a city near you. When Fox 11 News In-Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Bob DeCastro in for Hal Eisner. Just recently, government officials met in Washington, D.C. for the first Monarch Butterfly Summit, proving that concerns about the butterfly's decline are nationwide and stretch into the highest chambers. There are concerns at the neighborhood yard level as well. People across the U.S. are getting involved in some small way in protecting monarchs. Joining us now is Kat Darst. She is an assistant field supervisor for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in Ventura. And also Antonio Sanchez with the Santa Monica Mountains Fund. Welcome to you both.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, let's start with you, Kat. Can you talk about the monarch butterfly situation? A little confusion here. How is the population right now?
The monarch migration is an amazing phenomenon. In the spring, adults migrate from wintering grounds in Mexico for the eastern population, and then from coastal California for our western population. Through several generations, they migrate as far north as Canada. And then adults, three or four generations removed from those that began the trip in the spring, they travel the entire distance back to the wintering grounds in the fall.
Wow.
And then these are the monarchs that will then begin the northward migration in the following spring.
But we talk about the decline, Kat, in past years. How does it look right now? Have the numbers come back?
Great question. So the western migratory monarchs that winter at sites in coastal California have declined by over 95% over the last several decades, dropping from more than 4.5 million butterflies in the 80s to fewer than 2,000 butterflies in 2020. But we had a very fortunate uptick in the number of overwintering western monarchs last year, with close to 250,000 butterflies counted.
Wow.
So while we're really excited about the increase in numbers from 2020, I think it's good to remember that we did have as many as 200,000 overwintering butterflies in California as recently as 2017. So while this return to over 200,000 western monarchs this year is really something to celebrate,
yeah.
You know, the future of migratory western monarchs still depends on continued conservation.
I'm sorry, before I get to you, Antonio, I want to ask Kat one more question because I think it's important to understand why there had been a decline, right? For what were the reasons why the populations went down so far?
Yeah, so the extreme population decline, it's likely due to several stressors across the range working together. So these include loss and degradation of the overwintering sites. So again, that's where they spend the winter for the western population in coastal California. Loss of breeding and migratory habitat across the range, disease, a changing climate, and pesticide use, particularly insecticides.
Mm. All right, Antonio, it's your turn now. You're with the Santa Monica Mountains Fund, one of the organizations that's trying to help the populations of monarchs. What have you been doing?
You can tell what we haven't been doing is cleaning our office back here. We've been so busy this summer. It's been an amazing summer. And hi to Kat. It's good to see you, Kat. In the last 2 years, we have employed a lot of local youth. And those local youth have been, you know, combing the hills here in the Santa Monica Mountains National Recreation Area, which spans from almost like Camarillo, Malibu, all the way into Thousand Oaks, Newberry Park, Calabasas, those areas. We've been collecting a lot of different seed of a lot of different species. But one that we've been focusing on is milkweed, specifically the narrowleaf milkweed or Asclepias fascicularis. And to us, it's super important that we employ youth while we help save milkweed or the monarchs, right? We help them out. And so we've been employing these folks to help us collect tens of thousands. And last year, we were in the hundreds of thousands of milkweed seed. And a lot of folks think, you know, that's a ton of seed, and it is a ton of seed, but we're very careful to not take more than 10 or 20% of the local population, you know, that, that seeds can, or that the plants can offer. And we bring that those seeds back and we grow them here in the nursery. And so we've been lucky enough to grow over 10,000 plants this year [S2] Wow. [S1] Of that narrowleaf milkweed. And we've given away as of next Saturday or next, next Saturday, July 30th, we'll have given away over 10,000 milkweed this year. And to us, it's super important. Like to compare it to like a children's party, right? If you have a party on the weekend and you invite a bunch of kids, a kid's birthday party, you usually buy about 10, 20 pizzas or whatever you're going to do. You don't buy just one pizza. The kids will be really mad. If they'll eat all the pizza, there'll be no more food. And that's what we try to get the message across to people is that if you're going to plant milkweed, plant more than one. Make sure it's at least four or five plants, because what happens is the monarch, she will find those milkweed. She'll lay the eggs, the caterpillars will wake up, and they'll go through a ton of milkweed. And so when we give out these plants, you know, we say we're giving out 10,000 plants. We make sure that every household gets at least four or five. And so if you do the math, we're hitting almost 2,000 households this year with new milkweed plots. And you just showed the video.
Yeah, I think
how powerful these little plots can be.
I think most city folk, like, they might not even know what milkweed is, and it is a weed or it looks like a weed. So a lot of people just want to get rid of this stuff. But this is really, really, really important, right? So how can other people take part in what you are doing? And I know other organizations are trying to do the same thing. Let's spread the milkweed, right?
Yeah, for sure. So one thing you can do is get plants from us. We offer them for free. You can go to our website, samofund.org, and you can check out the dates. You can come volunteer with us, and you can get some of those plants for free as well. We happily offer 4 to 5 plants per household when you come and help us grow more plants for restoration. But here's the cool thing, Bob, is that once you grow 4 or 5 plants in your own garden, those plants will produce hundreds, if not thousands, of seed. And it's they call it weed for a reason. Wow. It will find that the seed will kind of fall or fly, and it will kind of come up as a weed in your garden. So a lot of times milkweed, when you plant it, won't be very happy where you plant it, but about 5 feet away, the seed will find the perfect spot.
I think it's a very beautiful
easy plant to
grow. Really quickly, Kat, 20 seconds here. How important is the monarch butterfly? Why should we care about this population?
So monarch butterflies are pollinators, and we care about pollinators because they pollinate the plants that exist around, including our food. So they're really important in terms of indicators of pollinators, of being pollinators themselves. And I think the other thing is we all love monarchs. I'm a California native.
Yeah.
I raised monarchs in my kindergarten class. It's part of our culture.
Yeah.
And we don't want to see them disappear.
No way. Butterflies are beautiful. Milkweed is beautiful. Kat and Antonio, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth. LA County parks and beaches are allocated nearly $100 million a year thanks to a parcel tax voted into effect in 2016. Coming up next, we take a look at where that money is going. In 2016, 75% of LA County voters approved the Los Angeles County Safe, Clean Neighborhood Parks and Beaches measure. It's called Measure A. Funding through the Measure A grant program will be generated in perpetuity through the collection of a parcel tax. The LA County Regional Park and Open Space District is responsible for implementing Measure A. It distributes grants and support to agencies throughout the county. Christina Angeles is the Assistant District Administrator, and she joins us now to talk about this. Christina, welcome.
Hi, Bob. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, first I want to talk about our parks, our county parks. Everyone loves our county parks. How are they doing? How are they doing health-wise right now?
So our parks are depend upon where you live, right? Your parks may be in good shape. Parks may be needing additional resources. And the beauty of Measure A is that it is really aimed toward park equity. So we're looking to bring up our either underachieving parks or actually create parks and build new parks in those areas where our children don't have a park within walking distance to them.
How much money are we talking about here when it comes to Measure A? Is it a one-time thing? Is it in perpetuity or for the next several years? And where specifically is it going to?
So that's a great question. So by way of background, Measure A is the third such park initiative within LA County. Back in 92 and 96, voters similarly passed resolutions creating the Open Space District and acquiring funds for park acquisition and park improvement. Those two, the 92 and 96 measure, have sunset. This new measure, Measure A, collects approximately $100 million annually. All of that money goes out to our 88 contract cities, as well as the unincorporated area, for the acquisition and improvement of parkland. It is devised from a 1.7 cent parcel tax on improved property, and all the money we collect, we turn around and give it out to the cities in various formats. Some of the money goes into competitive grants, so they vie for the dollars, and other monies are set aside, particularly for our high and very high need areas, those areas that where folks don't have a park within walking distance, or their parks are in dire need of improvements. Those areas receive more funding. So Measure A is definitely an equity-based park measure, really looking to help all Angelenos create safe parks in their neighborhoods.
So let's dive a little deeper into that equity issue. So for people who feel like they, you know, they're near a county park, or they're using a county park that is underserved, or doesn't gets a little neglected, or doesn't get taken care of as much as the other ones, what can they expect? Where specifically in our county can we expect to see some changes?
So the beauty of Measure A, it's everywhere. It's not just within county parks. It is for city parks as well. So as I said earlier, a lot of the money that we collect, we turn around and give it to the cities. And then the cities are in the driver's seat. They decide which park projects they want to prioritize, whether it be park acquisition, park improvement, a new restroom, a swimming pool, what have you. Those decisions are really made at the city level. In addition, one of the requirements of Measure A is community engagement, right? So we don't just want the city hall to make decisions on behalf of our residents. We want the residents to be actively engaged and pulled as far as what they would like to see within their communities. So there is also that community engagement component, which we feel is crucial in ensuring that our residents' needs are met. It is, after all, our taxpayer dollars.
Of course. So what projects, if you're looking down the pipeline here, are in the works?
So back in February, we actually allocated $26 million toward acquisition of parks, as well as multi-benefit parks, park projects, including trails and bioswales. You know, some money went to the city of LA to replace or to repair Watts Tower. Other monies went to the Antelope Valley to acquire new property. It really was spread out all over Los Angeles County. All of the information regarding the projects that we were able to fund with that last round of grant money is available on our website.
We had a lot of viewers asking us about Echo Park, Christine. I don't know if you can kind of detail a little bit about what might be being done for that area. It is such an iconic spot in Southern California. It's kind of part of our fabric and DNA, and a lot of people are, you know, they're concerned about that park.
So that is a city park, and as a granting agency, we give out the money. But like I said earlier, it really is incumbent upon the cities in polling their residents and through community engagement to determine the best utilization of their funds. So what I would say to the residents that live near and around Echo Park or any city or county park within LA County is talk to your elected officials, talk to your parks and rec folks, let them know what you care about. Let them know if, you know, you want a dog park in your community or a skate park or, you know, a pickleball, whatever is of interest to you, make sure you let them know, because ultimately, you know, if it's a park appropriate project, we at the Open Space District can approve it. But we don't make the decision as far as what the specific project should be.
Get involved is what you're saying. Tell them what you
Very
want, right? We have 30 seconds here. $100 million, I mean, it seems like a lot of money, but I imagine it goes fast pretty quickly. And how does the future look like for our county parks?
You're right. $100 million in the scheme of things is not a lot, because in addition to putting the money into the acquisition and creation, for example, we can fund the building of a gymnasium. But then over the years, that requires maintenance and servicing. So we also set aside some dollars to allow for the maintenance of the ongoing project, but it's never enough. So please, you know, to the extent, you know, you patronize your parks, also give back. Our parks are a wonderful resource for our children.
It is a beautiful resource. Thank you for what you do, Christina Angeles. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you, Bob, for having me.
Good to have you with us. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, now that we know where that money goes, let's take a look on how you can enjoy your local park. LA County has opportunities for fishing. Did you know this? Boating, horseback riding, and so much more. We'll explore it right after the break. So all those parks and open spaces, do you know there's a whole lot going on there? LA County Parks offer way more than just a spot to walk your dog. Let's bring in Mercy Santoro. She's the Deputy Director of Los Angeles County Department of Parks and Recreation. LA County has nearly 200 parks. Mercy, that's a surprise to know.
It's outstanding, the amount of parks and nature exploration, gardens and activities from our lakes to our aquatics. It's park time, Bob, in LA County. There's a lot going on.
It's so weird because we live in LA and I think everybody just naturally gravitates to, well, what are you going to do? Let's just go to the beach. Let's go to the beach. But we have all of these great spaces. But when people think of parks, they often think of greenery and trees and open space, which LA County Parks, I'm sure, has plenty of that. But it's a lot more than that, right?
Yeah, it's a lot more than that. So we know that we've got this great infrastructure and these beautiful amenities and these trails and open space to take advantage of. But there's so much going on in your local park that really should be checked out this summer. We have everything from amenities like skate parks that are available in our communities. We even have a boxing facility located in East LA, the Eddie Heredia. But at your local community parks, if you check it out, you'll find that you have an array of activities from children's drop-in recreational programs happening all day long, all summer long. Nutritional lunches and snacks are offered, partnered with those activities. An incredible array of sports activities for children and adults. And let's not forget about our activities for our older adults. We have 21 spaces for seniors to go and connect at our senior centers, activity programs. And really just when we think about the aquatics opportunities too, where you can go cool off, whether it's in a splash pad, one of our lakefront beaches, or one of our aquatic centers. There's something really for everybody of all ages to do. And what's great here this summer in LA County is that these are at no and low cost for much of these programs. We're removing barriers to play and access to our parks and our programs, thanks to the support and to a large degree from our Board of Supervisors, but also because the county realizes the importance of having access to these caring adults, these places to de-stress, these programs to connect and engage in self-care and to meet others and to really build community resiliency by coming together in your park.
I feel like it is something that we often just take for granted, right? Because those parks have always been there, but it sort of is underscored when we see how our county parks and all of its facilities and the people who work there are used, especially like when we have a heat wave and we often are going to our county parks, as you say, cool off, right? And even during the pandemic, you talk about those nutritional programs, how it had offered people ways to get food.
Absolutely. So you can come to the park to access, children can come to the park with their families. Children 18 and under can access our year-round snack program to our summer lunch program. We have it at 44 of our parks this summer. We also have a number of opportunities through our Parks After Dark program where we serve food to the community in the evenings on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. And our seniors can take advantage of our congregate meal programs that we offer at our senior centers and our senior program sites with nutrition. Okay. There are a lot of safety net services and spaces to access resources here in LA County Parks in partnership with our other partners, including places to get COVID testing as well as vaccination clinics.
It really has almost, you know, de facto become like the town centers in many places, right? It's kind of the gathering spot where people can access any sort of services that they can get from the county as well. The Parks After Dark program, I'm just curious about that and anything else that might happen, because oftentimes people don't want to go into parks during the evening. But are things happening in county parks in the evening time?
They are so activated, LA County Parks, 34 of them through August 6th on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings from 6 to 10 p.m. Here you can find everything from a yoga class, a youth sports clinic, to a concert, a movie, and really activities just for all ages. You don't want to miss out on Parks After Dark. You can even go swimming in the evening if the particular park that you want to enjoy has a pool. There's something for everyone in your family. It's a free program. And there you will discover maybe meeting a new neighbor or just engaging in really good, fun activities that will bring so many great family memories this summer here in our Parks After Dark program. Don't miss it. It's here till August 6th, and we would love to see you in LA County Parks.
Don't miss it. Okay, we have less than a minute here. So what's your final message here? Because I had a lot of people like really listening into you because they wanted to know what else could we do at our parks, and they wanted to know. And you ticked off a lot of different activities. There's so much stuff. So what can people do if they want to figure out, anywhere near them or a place they might be able to drive to be able to access this stuff? What should they do? Where should they go to?
Yeah, well, first of all, they should visit our website at parks.lacounty.gov, and there you can visit and find out what's happening at the nature centers, which has a rich array of activities, more about trail connectivity if you're interested in just having a passive user outing with your family at a park. But really, take advantage of your local park. Rediscover the talented staff that are in the park. There you will find affordable fitness classes and activities. So if you've been thinking about getting yoga started or you want to join that sports program or there's a special interest class or you want to discover yourself through an artist experience, it's there at your local park. And don't forget, teens, we have our spot. It's right there for you. If you like concerts, if you want to give back to your community and volunteer, attend teen summits, girls empowerment conferences, that is one of the best places for you to be year round in our park. So
Mercy,
do take advantage. Go and explore your park. Discover yourself and what opportunities
there is,
await.
There is so much going on there. We're out of time. But we thank you so much. You're such a great advocate for LA County Parks. And we want to remind people that website, if you want to find out what is offered by parks near you, we're going to put it right there on your screen. It's parks.lacounty.gov. We'll be back with more Fox 11 News in depth right after this. And that's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.